Life, politics, parenting, and navigating the daily chaos. It's time for Politely Rude with Abby Johnson.
Well, hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Politely Rude with Abby Johnson. And this is sort of a special episode. Special episode to me. I have a very dear friend of mine on for you today with a really special message, a special cause, and you know, I really want him to take up the whole time of the show. Most of you, probably, if you're in the pro-life movement, you know him, you've heard of him. Many of you have probably heard him speak, but he's doing something really important right now. And you know, most of us know about the conflict in Afghanistan, of course, and what's been going on. And all of us have our opinions about it and Biden and, you know, blah. But that's not really what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is help for those who are still there, those who are who have been innocent bystanders in this conflict and who need to be brought to safety. And so my guest today is Jason Jones. And so Jason, welcome to the program and thank you for being on today.
Abby, thank you. And thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah. So Tell people a little. You've got a project going right now, the Vulnerable People Project, and tell people sort of what that is and how that got started.
Yeah, a lot of people in the pro-life movement are often surprised when they see really what I really spend most of my time doing. My organization, HERO, the Human Rights Education and Relief Organization, I founded 19 years ago. Had the idea for it when I was in college and undergrad and then in graduate school, to have a human rights organization that defended the vulnerable from the child in the womb to the child in Darfur, where we focused on genocide, democide, total war, and abortion. And so I had this idea in college. I started the organization in 2002. And so we really began with war. Pro-life, I worked for pro-life groups at the same time I was running HERO. But my real passion when I founded this organization was I felt that if we invaded Iraq, it would pave the way for genocides and democides in the Middle East, because I knew that the American people wouldn't have the fortitude to stay the entire time. Not that Saddam Hussein was a great guy, but if we shattered a regime, the ethnic and religious minorities would be wiped off the face of the earth. Sadly, that's what happened, right? We saw that with the Yazidis and the Chaldeans and the Assyrians. And so I've done a lot of work in Iraq and a lot of work in Syria, going back really to the late 90s. But not in Afghanistan. Movie to Movement is another program of HERO, and that's what people think I do. It's really just one program of HERO. And with Movie to Movement, we produce movies that promote human dignity, and we come alongside other films that promote the incomparable beauty of the human person and inspire solidarity with the vulnerable, and we promote those. So those are our two programs. We've never had much to do with Afghanistan. We have no footprint in Afghanistan. But I guess because of the work we did rescuing ethnic and religious minorities in Iraq, the work we do with the Uyghur, it just seemed like natural for people to reach out to us. So on August 13th, I was lying in bed with COVID and pneumonia and really felt like I was fighting for my life. And my phone rings and it's Jennifer Cadena, Jennifer Huerta, the co-founder of Movie to Movement. And she was the first person that called me, and one of her best friends lived in Afghanistan for 15 years and she married an Afghan filmmaker. They made an anti-Taliban documentary and his mother was trapped in Kabul. So she said, Jason, can you help us get my friend's mother out? So I do have a lot of relationships in different governments and allied nations and different government agencies at state. So I just kind of swung into action. A few hours after Jenny called me, my friend said, Jason, my nephew is a Marine Corps captain. He wants to get his interpreter out. You're the only person I thought to call. And then I got calls from pastors from around the world and other groups. Before you know it, I had a database with, it got to 200, 300, 400, 500, 700, now almost 1,000 people that we have in our database that we're trying to get out of the country. We've gotten early on, we were able to get people out across the border into Pakistan, across the border into Iran, which strikes some people as strange, but it's actually a very good place for people from Afghanistan to go. A lot of them have family there. They speak the language and they're culturally compatible. We got folks on flights. But now, as you know, there's been 5 days. Even the flights that are on the ground, we have people on Glenn Beck's planes slated to go, but they have been grounded. But the good news is, and maybe we can get to the good news, there's some good news coming with our relationship with the foreign allied nation. And they are negotiating as soon as the airport is repaired. And right now, the radar is being repaired. So I think in the coming days, we'll be landing a commercial flight. And I'm committed that everyone I talk to in Kabul, I think you're going to play some audio to one of those calls and what I've been listening to on the phone now since August 13th. But everyone I've talked to in Afghanistan and every family that I've talked to in the United States and in Europe and other places that are working with me to get their family out, my commitment is I have an Excel file. And everyone on that Excel file, I'm not stopping until those families are safe.
Yeah. You know, you're talking to people who are daily. You're talking to people who are there in Afghanistan who are, I mean, their lives are on the line every day. There are terrorists now in charge in Afghanistan. Can you tell us what are their lives like right now? What are they telling you? You know, what are some of their greatest fears? What is life like for them right now?
I'm going to turn on my phone, and while it's turning on, I'm going to read you some of the texts that I get. I'm afraid to sleep at night. I haven't slept much since August 13th. When I know I need to sleep and I try to sleep, I just can't because I might get a phone call from somebody early on that needed to be put on the database and I didn't want to wait a couple of hours so they might have missed a flight or I had information that could, like when the Abbey Gate explosion happened, I actually NyQuil'd that night because I knew I needed to sleep. Then after I took it, I was just petrified that if I closed my eyes, somebody would get hurt. A couple hours later, I get information that we have to move our people from Abbey Gate. There is a credible threat of a terrorist attack. And I was able to reach our families. We were actually staging them all at Abbey Gate because we were trying to pay off contractors to get them through the gate. And so I was masking them all at one gate. And, a bomb went off. And it would have killed several of our families. One family that I've become really close to has a newborn child and a young son. So what I'm getting from folks is they're horrified. One woman is in her early 60s. She's alone. She's on the Taliban kill list. She's in hiding. And she is not close to the airport. We had her on several flights, but she's just petrified to leave her house because there are so many Taliban checkpoints between her house where she's hiding and the airport. A father texted me yesterday. I'm going to read you his text. And you know, nothing I've ever done in my life, Abby, and you know, I've been in war zones and I was on the outskirts of the war against ISIS with the Peshmerga and saw what they did, but it's different to be there and then, and have skin in the game. It's different than, I even felt guilty then, you know, when I was in Iraq during the genocides, I felt ashamed because I knew I was safe, relatively safe compared to the people who were with me that were on the, you know, and the families that were suffering. I felt guilty and ashamed and like a voyeur. You know, like, what if I can't do anything for these people? Then what am I doing? I'm just here witnessing this moment of indignity that they're suffering and I can't do anything for them. That was even hard. And I would apologize. And I would say, look, I manage your expectations. I'm going to do the best I can. Well, this is a whole level. I'm literally here, Abby. And I don't know if you're going to play the audio tapes. My kids are outside having, you know, running around playing. And I hear them say, hey, can we do the slip and slide? Hey, mom, can we have ice cream cakes? You know, and then I'm listening to that. And then I get texts like this. Oh, my children and I are so frightened because we don't know what's happening. The gun shootings are so close. I can't stop my children from crying. They are very scared. I don't know. And then I ask them where the shooting is coming from, what direction, what neighborhood. I don't know where it comes from, but it's so close and it's all around us in every direction. I'm in panic and I don't know how to keep my children calm. And then my children are, Dad, can we go do the slip and slide? We have a president who says no regrets. I see a man that worked for us being hung from a plane, being flown around the city, hanging from a rope that's attached to our planes. People that worked for us just cleaning toilets are hiding for their life because they made the mistake of taking a low-paying job cleaning bathrooms for American diplomats. And we say no regrets. You know, Abby, I supported Pat Buchanan in 2000. I am an anti-interventionist. I supported, of course, going into Afghanistan and destroying those people that were waging a war against us. But you and I, and I don't think most of your listeners, were advocates of nation building. Planned Parenthood was the first NGO into Afghanistan. The neoliberals and the neoconservatives walked into that country and they threw promises around like Mardi Gras beads. They spent $2 trillion they brought into that country. Probably most of it went into their friends' pockets. And what? They skipped on out without looking back. Now, I would not have supported going into that country and making all sorts of promises. I would have worked with the Northern Alliance to go after our bad guys, let them form a coalition government, support them with their support and special forces, and make sure it doesn't become a hotbed of terrorism. Now, ISIS is in Kabul. And senior officials in the Taliban government have taken blood oaths to Al-Qaeda. Senior officials in the Taliban government have taken blood oaths to serve Al-Qaeda. So on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, so what did we get? So here's what I'm saying, that when we entangle ourselves with a people making all sorts of commitments and promises and patting ourselves on the back about how great we are, bringing rights and democracy. You know, there was a poster of young women being shoved up against a wall by men with AK-47s. And the wall they were shoved up against had all these UN posters on it. Climate equality, gender equality, no poverty. Posters, propaganda. These children are nothing. They've been nothing but poster children in an ad campaign for the neoconservatives and the neoliberals to loot our treasury, to exploit the people of Afghanistan. We had a duty to leave that country in a thoughtful and responsible manner that did not let it fall into chaos. And we failed in that duty. And I hope the American people, the next time that the neoliberals and the neoconservatives gin up an ad campaign to generate enthusiasms, to get you all fired up, making all sorts of promises about democracy and social justice and equality and human rights, to go in and destroy a country. You know, in Iraq, what kind of promises did we make? They have a government now that just gunned down 2,000 democracy activists. We have a government that we installed. Then you have in Libya, we made all sorts of promises. What do you have? Open air slave markets in Libya today. Now in Afghanistan, what? Al-Qaeda is back and literally in power in partnership with the Taliban and the CCP. And who suffers? You know, the great part about my job for so many years, now over 20 years in my time in the military, I get to go all around the world and meet all sorts of people. I remember when I went to Darfur, I brought Eduardo to Darfur, and we went up north to meet with the bad guys, the Janjaweed, the devils on horseback. But when you sit down and talk to folks, just normal people, they just want the same things. You know, the families in Sudan and the families in Afghanistan, they just want peace, prosperity. You know, they want everything we want. My prayer every night with my family is that I pray, my silent prayers when we do our prayers, I always say, Lord, I wish every child on earth could live in such a peaceful environment as my child, as my children. And we have a real responsibility. Those of us, especially Abby, your audience, you know, we're pro-life. You know, I coined the term whole life. There's this consistent ethic, the seamless garment that was bandied about by Cardinal Bernardine that takes every issue under the sun, you know, food stamps and, you know, think of any issue.
Climate change. Yeah.
Right, any issue. But you know what they don't have to talk about? Genocide, democide, unjust total war. These issues are like and commensurate to abortion. A lot of pro-lifers think, oh, abortion is there's nothing like and commensurate. Yes, genocide is like and commensurate. democide, which is states just killing their own people.
Well, abortion is genocide. Right.
And every genocide that you can think of really begins with abortion. The genocide of the Uyghur began with the one-child policy. And do you know there was a massacre called the Barren Massacre in the early 90s? The Uyghurs refused to comply to the one-child policy. So the People's Liberation Army invaded the country, rounded up every pregnant woman they could find, and in a matter of days, just did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of forced abortions in warehouses. It was the only mass killing that ever took place in the womb, woman by woman, womb by womb, baby by baby. Genocide often begins in the womb. What is happening in Afghanistan is connected to Joe. You don't want to bring up politics, I apologize. But, you know, Joe Biden, there is a consistent ethic in Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to use the full weight of the federal government to come down on Texas. And at the border, 5,000 of the 15,000 children that have been processed, unaccompanied minors, are missing.
Right.
And then YOLO, no regrets, Biden, YOLO. You only live once. He leaves Afghanistan, doesn't look back. There is a consistency there. An utter disrespect for children at the border, an utter disrespect for the child in the womb, and an utter disrespect for the families in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think about, you know, of course, I mean, as a parent, I mean, I think about just the fear, of course, of the children who are there, who are left there. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they just said, of course, the images that have popped up of mothers handing their children, their babies to these soldiers, right? And that was, you know, popping up all over the world. And I was talking to this woman, and she said, "Oh gosh, Abby, I mean, can you just imagine? I can't even imagine giving my child to a soldier." And I said, "Well, I mean, as a mom, I could. I mean, if I was living in that situation, and especially if I had a little girl, I mean, I could. I mean, because that's how much you love your children. And if you think, I have a little girl and my little girl is possibly going to die under this regime just because she's a girl, because of the oppression that we're now living under, I mean, yeah, I can imagine doing that." And I mean, what these people are living under now. And you know, here we've got a president now that's, you know, so angry because of like women's rights and all this kind of stuff. But look at what he's done. Look at how he's left women. Look at how he's, you know, he's a devout Catholic, but look at how he's left Christians. Look, I mean, it's absurd. Like you know, it's like people say, like, if they didn't have a double standard, they wouldn't have a standard at all. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, to hear these texts that you're receiving, and we will play some of the audio. And yeah, it's just, it's a nightmare that I don't think most of us could even conceive or understand. What you talked about this woman being on like the Taliban kill list. What puts someone in Afghanistan? What puts someone on a kill list?
So we have sort of this list, and so the Vulnerable People Project has hired experts from the region, intelligence officers, and it's kind of like a sorrowful IMDb list. Do you know about how the Internet Movie Database list works? Mm-hmm. As celebrities, and it says they're ranked 19, or like I'm on IMDb, probably, you know, 98,762, you know, most guy. You're on IMDb now, right? You're a movie made about you, guaranteed. You're higher on IMDb than me, but there's this IMDb. We have this list, and our experts are going through there and determining what their ranking is on this list and our priority and extraction. So a Christian convert, if you've converted to Christianity, you're on that list. We have someone that is number one on this list. I'll tell you about him offline. I can't say anything about him, but he is number one for sure on our list. because of his ethnicity and because of what he, his religion and what he speaks on. If you work for the Americans, of course, if you're an interpreter, if you're thought, if a relative of yours converted to Christianity, if you've been an open advocate for, you know, there are people that I'm working to save that are on the, that I don't agree with politically. They might advocate things that I'm opposed to. Do you know that there was a far left abortion advocacy organization that reached out to us to rescue their people? And we put them on the list.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Of course we did. So there are all sorts of things that can get you onto that list. And then we try to prioritize them. There are other people we have on the list. This is, can I tell you, very sorrowful. Have you ever seen the movie A Hidden Life by Terrence Malick on the life of Franz Jägerstätter, the Austrian farmer?
I have not.
So it's the most beautiful movie you will ever watch. And I ask everyone to watch it. It's called A Hidden Life. And it came out last year, a year and a half ago. It's about an Austrian farmer who just would not say the loyalty oath to Hitler when the Nazis invaded. And because he was from a small village and a farmer and everyone knew him and liked him, they gave him every chance to just say the oath. His bishop, this is a true story, he's a blessed. His bishop asked him to say the oath. They just, his bishop said, think of something else and just say the oath. Even to the point of going to the death chamber, right before he walked in, they had his wife talk to him. And she said, anything you choose, whatever you choose, I will love you and be very proud of you. Well, he chose to die because he just wouldn't say the loyalty oath. Well, there's someone we were working with who is very prominent and respected. The Taliban sent him letters saying that we want you to just become one of us. And this gentleman wrote me a letter and said, I will die because I will never become one of them. And so he's, you know, I don't want to say too much, but yeah, so that's someone that to me, I thought, you know, Hidden Life is my favorite movie. And now I'm working with a guy who is a walking, living, breathing Franz Jägerstätter. He, very much like Franz, he's of the ethnicity of most of the Taliban. He is admired by them. He just will not ever say the oath. He will not. And so they will kill him. He will not become them. So they will kill him. And so these are the people I'm talking to every day. Talking with them with the gunfire in the back and the terror in their voice is hard. What's even harder, strangely, maybe, it seems uncanny, but what's even harder is then talking with their relatives, say here, they're calling you from different parts of the United States. And, you know, you have to manage their expectations, especially in the early days of the crisis. You know, you have two things. They're despairing and you want to lift them out of despair, but you don't want to give them false hope. Because my big fear is that they would see me as their only way out and I might not deliver. It's a chaotic situation. I don't want them to cling to me so hard that they miss an opportunity, right? So I'd always tell them, I will do everything I can for you and maybe nothing at all. I'm one door that may never open. Find as many doors as you can. Run through the first door that opens. That was my mantra I would say to everyone over and over and over again. But they don't hear that. What they hear is, he's going to save my son, my wife, my brother, my daughter. That's all they hear. And then Sunday was the hardest day of my life because all hope was lost for them. And I'm going to get to the hope. We've got some good things going. I have a ritual since August 13th. In the middle of the day, I go get a protein shake just to get out of the house. I drive or walk to the smoothie place just to get out of the house. And then at 9 at night, I go to the grocery store just to walk around and be around humans, doing human things. And I get an orange juice. But Sunday night, I did it. And I shouldn't have because I just broke down. I was crying in the grocery store, just wailing. And it was just too much, these calls. And you know, it's interesting. Then yesterday I had a call with a bunch of folks from other organizations doing exactly what I'm doing. And I told them about my ritual and they said, we do the same thing. They all were like, I go to the grocery store every night at around 9 o'clock. It was weird. We all sort of can't, it's such a normal thing, I guess, that people do. And that we all sort of on our own discovered this is really therapeutic. But you know, what happened one night is I was there and somebody from Kabul FaceTimed me. I had to run out of the grocery store to the parking lot to answer the phone. Why? I found the ugliest view of the parking lot I could because the last thing I wanted was them to see an HEB. I mean, I was ashamed. Like I was like, I cannot let them see HEB, the grocery store in my background. It's just no way I can let them see it. So I run to the parking lot. I'm like, look, okay, that's, and I took the call that way.
You're listening to the Edify Podcast Network. We'll be right back. This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app. This is the Edify Podcast Network. Welcome back.
So tell us now, like, what's coming? You know, what is coming for these people? What is the hope that you have? What's sort of in the works? I know that the planes have been ground. Why have the planes been grounded? Is it because of the explosion or?
You know, I don't know. The State Department has been awful. Awful. They're going to scapegoat people like Glenn Beck because they have such a big name. But let me tell you what. It was only private aid organizations that were working to get these people out. The State Department was emailing people that we put on the State Department list, asking them to go to the airport. They'd get to the airport and it would be sent away. There was a group of very elite soldiers that we're working with. Elite of the elite that have saved thousands of American lives with the work that they've been doing. Were sent by the State Department an email, come to the airport with your families. They got to the airport with their families. Sent away, turned away. These men, their families are going to die if we do not get them out. And we're working at getting them out because they saved our families. And that's our State Department's failure. And they're going to blame people like Glenn Beck and all the big names. You know, we're not big enough. Glenn Beck's going to be the guy to go after. Let me tell you what, that man, I admire, I love that man at this point. I love Dave Barton, the president of his nonprofit. I love these people. They have been relentless and tireless and thoughtful and creative. And so the state's going to go after them. DOD's, why? You lost a country in a matter of days. You were wrong about everything. And then they're going to say, well, if these private aid organizations weren't there, we weren't tripping over them. They were using us. I was putting names in State Department Excel files, forwarding it to them. And you know what they did with those databases, Abby? Do you know what they did with them? They gave them to the Taliban.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And I wasn't sure if that was true, but
They admitted it because they got caught. And they said they did it for their protection. Uh-huh. Well, we'll see. We will know because we all have our lists. Today, I have an Armenian friend of mine. His family fled to Jerusalem, the Armenian genocide. And he is a famous, a big musician in Hollywood. He moved to Texas right when we did. They're very close friends of mine from LA days. Being Armenian guy, he's putting together my database management team. We're going to go through every name, who's out of the country, who's in hiding, who's died. We're going to know, not just our organization, but every organization. So we're going to see what happened to the names of those people on our list. We're not forgetting this. We're going to know what happened to every single name on every single list that a private organization sent to the State Department. Really sorrowful. They failed. Private organization succeeded. But here's the good news. So why they were sending Christians away? They were turning away planes from Glenn Beck, or when they got there, grounding them. And then when Christians came to the airport, they would turn Christians away. And it was dangerous to go to the airport. One of our families was at the airport. They were told they were on the list. We don't know. They didn't make it there. Why? Because the Taliban, they shot the son, the 12-year-old son, in the stomach. So this family had to go to the hospital and leave the line. And it was on Friday, and they knew that was it. They knew that was it. And then on Friday also, they let some of our families in, finally through the gate. And one was a man, which I haven't heard from now since Sunday. I'm praying he got on a plane. He is a man with worked for us, the United States government. And he had a wife, a newborn, and a young son. For a week, they were hiding. They were the family that was Abbeygate, and we barely got out. And I sent pictures he was taking to Steve Bannon that were on the war room. This family, they finally got on the airport, and then they're there waiting for a plane. Then they're told, oh, there's going to be a mortar attack. Everyone off the airfield, come back tomorrow. When he said this to me, we're coming back tomorrow, I knew there was not going to be any planes tomorrow, the day of the withdrawal. And I just, you know, I broke down crying. This poor guy's coming back tomorrow. He doesn't even know. I have not heard from him since. We're trying to find him. So, but here's the good news. You know, our organization, I think you know who my best friend is. My best friend is working with me. He's a retired intelligence officer who speaks the languages there, has almost died there, has a Purple Heart in three countries, one of them being Afghanistan. And he's a passionately committed guy with a lot of relationships. So he's the guy running our ground game. And we are working with a foreign ally, a foreign nation. And they are negotiating with the Taliban that we can start getting there'll be humanitarian flights coming soon, like in days. So we've been raising money. And by God's grace and LifeSight News, they set up, I didn't even ask. They go, look what we made for you. We're not taking any percentage of it. It's for you. We've raised $250,000in, I don't even know what day, today's Saturday, in 7 days. $750,000 is a flight. My goal is a whole flight. But we may be able to just buy seats on these flights. We're working with different groups. And we've talked to some foundations and donors for a match. It would make us just $100,000 away from a match, if we do the match. But at the rate it's going, and thanks to you and really the pro-life movement, may be responsible for the first flight in and out. It will be the pro-life movement. $250,000 in a week is utterly unbelievable to me. And because of that, we've knit together a team of special forces guys. Now we're putting together, my buddy Armin's coming. We're going to create a call center where I can feel I can go to sleep. We're getting a new phone where we're going to have the ways of communication on that phone. It's going to be like adoration. For those of you who are Catholic, know what that is. We're going to have a facility where it's 24/7. You sign up. It's going to be veterans. You sign up and they'll have interpreters that they'll be able to work with if they need that, with calls on standby. And so instead of me being petrified to go to sleep because it's just Jason Jones, we're going to have a whole call center going. We're setting that up today. And, you know, we're going to, I promise you, we're going to be getting the most, those at the highest top of the list will be out in the next 10 days. I'm very confident in this ally, this nation state, this ally. I'm very confident in their commitment and their ability to get planes in and out. And so we'll be working with them. And, you know, maybe in a week or two, I can come back and we can have some of the families that were on those flights come on your show.
Okay. So you need money. I mean, you need money to make this flight happen.
Yeah.
And so how do you want people to give? I mean, I'm asking my audience to give, to this. This is important. These are people that we need to help, and we need to get them into safety. And so how do you want us to give to this?
I would like you. So I would like you to give through the LifeSight. If you're going to share, just, you know, that is give at the life. It's called, do you have the name there? I sent it to you.
Is it the Life Funder?
Life Funder /Afghanistan. I don't know if you can put it up there or how they can share it. You can go to our website, which is thegreatcampaign.org, and give. But the Life Funder has been wonderful because it's really going viral. So you can give at our website, thegreatcampaign.org. Give it the Life Funder site. It's lifefunder.com/Afghanistan, I believe. And the other thing I would like to ask is, I'm sure some of you have family foundations or you are chair foundations. This is something I think you want to participate in. Our goal is a plane a week. We think on our list, there's probably between 400 and 550 names on our list still in Afghanistan. We're going to get that down. It's about $5,000 a person to get them out. And my commitment, I can promise you that every name on my list, if their heart is beating, they will get to safety. This is my commitment and this is my pledge. I promise you that. We are tenacious. We are creative. We have relationships in the places where we need to have relationships with. And I can't tell you about the people on our list, but there are groups. And I mean, if I were to tell you who we're getting out, use your imagination. I'm Catholic and I love my faith. I'm a Christian. You can imagine some of the folks on our list that are at the top of our list, but we have interpreters, we have Christians, we have Catholics. We have, you know, a lot of folks. And when this is all done, we'll be able to tell you who you helped get out. We can't even tell you. After this, Abby, I'll show you some of the pictures of the folks on planes that we helped get out. You know, we can't talk about this now. I got a family, a man and his daughter. The wife was already out of the country and we lost him. We didn't know what happened. And then he just sent me a picture of him in Spain. I'll show you that picture when we're not on the air. So some people, it's just unbelievable to see this man with his little girl in an Uber in Spain. I think it was an Uber. I don't know. Unbelievable, you know, and I just wish people could know these stories. There's a group of folks that I know, this audience, it would be really close to your heart. And it's a big group. It's about 46 people that we need to get out. We need to get out. They will die. They will die. So we have evangelical pastors and their families, this family where the son was shot. I'm getting them out, I promise you. So yeah, there's a lot of people to get out. So say, what is 600 times 5,000? That's on my list alone. But every week my goal is a plane. So if you have a major foundation, you know, go to thegreatcampaign.org or contact Abby and reach out to us. I think you'd love to partner with this, and you could just, we can show you how to get your own plane or how to partner with us to get a plane. These opportunities don't come along. You know, a gentleman said to me that my grandparents, I think it was his grandfather died in the Holocaust. I can't rescue him. So I'm going to rescue someone in a position like he was in. The only thing I can think of in the history of the world that compares to this is when in Denmark, the king made a deal with Hitler that he could invade, that they wouldn't resist. Just don't touch our Jewish population. Through spies, he found out that they were going to arrest the Jews the next day. And in one night, on little boats, they were able to get over 90% of the Jewish community out of the country and to Sweden. Just folks. This is just folks. That's the only other event in human history that I think compares to this. And Abby, I haven't watched the news since August 13th. So I don't know what's being covered. I don't know if they're still talking about it. I'll peek in here and there. I think I've watched maybe 10 minutes of news since August 13th because I'm consumed with work. But I don't know if America's forgetting about this, if it's been washed off the front pages or not. But I can promise you there are a lot of little groups with little boats that are being relentless. And here we are. We're a boat. We're a plane, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you go to lifefunder.com, it's the first thing that pops up on their page. The very first thing says rescue Christians and vulnerable from the Taliban. And you just click donate now, right now. It's so easy to give. While I was talking to Jason, we just gave $2,500. It's so easy to give. I'm asking all of you guys who are listening to give lifefunder.com. The first thing that pops up, their goal is $750,000. They have almost 1,600 donors. You know, there's been $255,000 given so far. So they're 34% funded. So, you know, I'm asking you guys to give generously, to give sacrificially if you can. And, man, I mean, it's just something that I feel like we all need to be doing. I mean, these are kids, these are families, these are moms, these are dads, grandmas. I mean, these are our brothers and sisters over there. And, this is something that I feel like we all should be compelled to do. And I would ask that all of you also pray for Jason and his team. This is very difficult work that they're doing, very draining emotionally and physically. And so I would ask that all of you pray for him as well. You know, I think, you know, thank you, Jason, for coming on and sharing about this and allowing us to invest in this life-saving mission that you're on. It's really a it's a gift that we're able to you know, have a small part in this through our giving. So thank you for allowing us to do that.
Well, thank you for sharing, Abby, with me, your friends. And I want to say something, that one of the persons on my list is my friend. And the audio is, that's from my friend. That's from my friend. The screaming you hear is outside his door. The daughter's crying. The text was from my friend, my friend. One of the women on my list is Jennifer Cadena, who is my partner in Movie to Movement in all my movies. She co-founded Movie to Movement with me. It's one of her best friend's mothers. It was shocking to me how many people on my list, someone I love, loves them. And the first verse that they caught my attention as a young atheist, maybe sort of with a pagan sort of nobility or a pagan morality that I have, but it really caught my attention, was, as an atheist, remember in Proverbs, remember your friends and the friends of your father. Abby, you and I are friends. Like, I love you. I love your husband. You're my friend. There's someone I love as much as I love you in Afghanistan with his family. There are people I love who people they love are there. I can promise you, someone you love is suffering right now because someone they care about, someone that served with them, was an interpreter for them. They're from a church that they planted, or from a pastor in Pakistan who planted a church there. There are people you love. A religious order you care about, they have people there, I promise you. So this is, you're helping your, you're remembering your friends. This elite unit that fought and killed people that wanted to kill your family are stuck there. They are your friends. They're the friends of your fathers. They fought with our brothers. My son fought in Iraq, ISIS, and he fought in Syria and Iraq. He fought ISIS. ISIS is now there. Our friends are there. So I would really ask that you give this and share this. And, you know, we as a movement, we have been labeled, they say the worst things about us, but we are the most compassionate, loving people. We're those that are willing to be ostracized. Your podcast name is Politely Rude. What you're saying is, I don't care. You and I were at an event recently together where they wanted to kill you, right? Because they have scapegoated you. They think you were evil. The things that they think about you, which aren't true, you laugh about it. I'm like, Abby, how do you handle it? You laugh. This is the most kind movement, courageous movement. This is a movement that has for decades marched along, suffered the worst sorts of calamity, and yet courageously stood with the child in the womb. Our movement is a movement that stands with the outcast, with the vulnerable. And there's no one more outcast in our society than the child in the womb. But there are people as outcast as the child in the womb. In other places, like the Yazidi in Iraq, and like the people being hunted today in Afghanistan. And so it is only natural that it is our movement, a movement that stands with the one that has been utterly outcast, that is the movement that is at the forefront of standing with the people of Afghanistan. So I just want to thank you.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's my honor to do it. And I thank you for the work that you're doing. And so I want to end my podcast by reminding you to go to lifefunder.com. It will pop up, the first thing on the page will pop up, and it just simply says, rescue Christians and vulnerable from the Taliban. And you can just, there's a button that says donate now. So, and then you can also share that on Facebook, and sharing it will help remind other people to give, or at least put it in their face so that they can give as well. But I want to end the podcast by playing some of the audio that you sent me, just as a reminder to people, just so people can hear it for the first time, of what it's like for people there, what it's like, what they're hearing outside of their homes. And I think it really captures the fear. You know, they don't feel safe in their homes. And it just, it captures just how terrifying it is for these people who are your friends. And I think you just said that so perfectly. So that's how I want to end the podcast. Thank you to Jason. Thank you for all the work you're doing. And thank you all for listening.
Firing, live firing at the Taliban. We don't know what is that. People crying, but they don't know their future. Again and again, firing. Every window closed, door closed.
Thanks for listening to Politely Rude with Abby Johnson on the Edify Podcast Network. Tune in next time for another powerful exploration of life, politics, parenting, and tips for navigating the daily chaos. And for more faith-inspiring podcasts, download the Edify Podcast app on the Apple and Google Play Stores or at edify.app.